You thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene. This is a special show. We usually air on Tuesdays, but obviously we had some technical difficulties with our show, but we decided to bring you an NBA Finals preview of game six. The great LeBron James has forced game six. Ray Jeezy, you're listening to, what's up, Ray Jeezy? Hold up real quick. Make sure I know, right? You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. Myself, Wally, my homeboy, Ray Jeezy. Will T's not in with us today due to an injury, but he'll be back hopefully over the next couple of weeks. But what's up, Ray? How you doing, my man?
I'm good. I just hate to break the news to those radio stations who are looking to negotiate with his contracts. Will T's not a max guy. I'm sorry. Anytime you just sustain a serious injury, just walking, something's wrong. So one thing is, he can't criticize people like Bradley Beal on the show no more for being, quote, injury prone. Anytime you just step out of the house and now you have multiple injuries. I don't know.
Will T gets hurt pretty easily. I mean, it's like the flukest stuff in the world. You know what I mean? Like, it's hilarious. Like, Will could be as simple as, you know, walking to the office and all of a sudden he rolls an ankle. You know? Speaking of injury, bro, I mean, good God.
Not a max guy. I'm a max guy, though, so.
I think I am, too.
We can negotiate.
I think so, too.
Will T making pay less?
Look, I told my ACL. You would think he tore his ACL or something.
But that was in a basketball game.
I know, right?
He just stepped out the house and then. I can't imagine seeing that. I wish somebody would report it.
Man.
But, you know, I don't want to make light of it, though. I hope he gets better in. Right now, the timeline is 2 weeks.
Oh, man.
You know, I'll check in with our insider to see if there's any other findings at this point.
And, like I said, we're going to talk a lot of NBA Finals. We're going to have from Warm Up. It's a show on 97.3 ESPN FM Radio South Jersey. We want to have Rich Quiñones. He's the host of the show. Great guy. Met him on Twitter. We talk a lot of basketball, and also he's into boxing too. So hopefully down the road we'll have him in boxing. But did you get to see game Ray D? Did you get to see game five?
You know, I've been definitely watching the NBA Finals closely, and obviously each team has responded well after a loss. That's how I look at it. I mean, so much is being made of Draymond, which we'll get to. But, you know, guys are motivated. They don't want to go home.
Yeah, definitely. But here are some other topics we're going to have on the show. I'm going to get into our pregame. We have Kirk Cousins. He spoke earlier about him. He doesn't feel that he plateaued yet as a quarterback in the NFL. So we're going to talk about, will Kirk Cousins have a better season next season compared to last season? Should the Washington Wizards sign Otto Porter to an extension? But before we get into all that, we have Rich online. Rich, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How you guys doing?
Fine. We're doing well.
Great.
First off, Rich, I guess I want to talk about I don't want to talk about the game tonight yet. I want to talk about Game Five a little bit. The talk about Game Five is Draymond Green not playing. How Draymond Green not playing affected, you know, Cleveland. To a point where, you know, that's the reason why LeBron scored 41. What's your thoughts about that?
Yeah, you hit the nail right on the head. You bring up a great point. It's the perimeter play, right? Because when you look at what Cleveland was able to do with a lot of driving kicks, typically Golden State has some pretty good help side defensive rotation. But without having, pardon me, Green on the floor, he's an elite help defender. He can read the offenses. He can react. You didn't see that. That's why LeBron was pretty content with taking those jump shots. That's why he had the monster game of 41. I would suspect, I know we'll talk about tonight in a moment, but I would suspect with having him on the floor, you're not going to see LeBron score, you know, 40 plus. You're not going to see him shoot 16 of 30 from the floor. Mm-hmm. But he was content. You know, they didn't have that weak side help. He was content instead of driving to the tin. He was content shooting from the floor, mid-range jumper. They didn't body up on him on the perimeter with the 3-point shot, and it hurt Golden State.
So what would you say to – I mean, all right, so I'll play devil's advocate. No one – this mm-hmm. is my thing about the whole, you know, LeBron, which you have a valid – you make great points. No one says that, but say about like a Kobe Bryant saying, like, for instance, I'll go back to the finals where Kendrick Perkins got hurt against the Lakers with the Boston Celtics, and no one said, well, Kobe Bryant's not going to do well because Kendrick Perkins is in the game. No one like put that on Kendrick mm-hmm. Perkins. Or like I've never even watching, you know, the Bulls in the past where, you know, Michael Jordan, if someone got someone was hurt. No one's going to say, well, Michael Jordan scored 40 or 50 because so-so wasn't in the game. Why do people do that when it comes to LeBron James, knowing that he's like, if you look at him, he's still an all-time, he's an all-time great. He'll be an all-time great.
I think it's funny. I had this argument today on the air. I've had it before. I'm a huge LeBron fan. But you can't, you can never compare him to Jordan because they're two different players in two different years.
Yeah.
And Jordan, you know, just an all-time great, and he had that clutch gene and the ice water and the it factor. So I hear what you're saying, and I know you're not asking me about the comparison, but it's more or less, when you look at LeBron as a whole, I don't think people really understand what he attributes to a team, what he contributes as well. I mean, he's plus 30 everywhere he goes. They're going to win an extra 30 games. Plus, he is a sick defender of the basketball, and I think we lose sight of that. Is the criticism warranted? Yes. Should we sit here and say tonight, if LeBron only finishes with 25 and they lose and they get blown out, what's going to happen tomorrow? Everyone's going to go on the air and they're going to criticize LeBron. But it shouldn't work like that. It's not fair, because you're talking about Jordan, who had Pippen. You're talking about Bird, who had a bunch of Hall of Famers, Bill Walton on the bench, and he beat two bad Rockets teams in the 80s and then the Lakers once. You're talking about Kobe and Shaq. So it's really tough to sit here and gauge how we're going to look at LeBron after this finals. The criticism's warranted. Look, the other day that Curry went off and had 38, LeBron had a quiet night. And then he comes back, Kyrie's in the zone, he gets his 41, and LeBron does what he wants to do. Now, if you further that point, you ask me right now, is this LeBron's league? No, it's not. It's Curry's league, and LeBron knows it. However, you know, he kind of turned back the clock last night. That performance is going to be needed tonight, but, man, at the end of the day, guys, it doesn't matter how many you score. They need that third wheel. They need someone else to contribute.
Hey, Rich, two-part question here for you. One is, what did you think, in general, of the Draymond suspension? Should he have been suspended at all? And second, what do you make of the Bogut injury?
I think the first one with the Draymond incident, it's funny because right around they were talking about the fouls and a flagrant. That's one of the things I said, hey, that might be – it bears worth watching. Look, the problem is with Draymond Green, I mean, you guys know this, right? His reputation got the better of him.
Definitely.
That's the bottom line. Mm-hmm. Whether you believe it should have been a foul or not, it is what it is. Adam Silver came out and just said the reputation precedes him. I know a lot of people think he's a borderline dirty player, and to be honest, some of the fouls, this is not the Knicks and Heat, you know, teams of the 90s with these really hard basketball fouls. Some of it's kind of bush league from Green, and he's got to keep his composure because he's going to have fresh legs. He's playing 35, 40 minutes tonight. And as far as Bogut, even when he was on the floor, he really didn't contribute. He was just a guy that you'd be able to kind of stick on the floor if you want to fill out the lineup, right, to get these guys on the floor. So I don't think that's a major, major loss. To me, Green's got to step up tonight. He potentially could be that X factor.
Man, how far has Andrew Bogut fallen? Former number one overall pick that's now a non-factor. And it's sad because I feel like with Festus Ezeli on the floor or Maurice Spates, I'm worried about those guys. You know, I feel more comfortable as a fan seeing Andrew Bogut on the floor with the Warriors than those two guys. But it'll be interesting to see how Kerr adjusts without Andrew Bogut. But I do agree with you. It's you know, pretty much irrelevant at this point whether he plays or not. Draymond Green coming back is the biggest story of the game for the Warriors, or as the Warriors are concerned. What's your prediction for tonight?
I mean, it's tough, right? Because as a Hoops fan, I want to see the finals go 7. ABC, ESPN, they want that game 7 Sunday night. I picked Golden State in the beginning of the year to beat Cleveland in the NBA Finals in a rematch. I couldn't really come up with any excuses for LeBron anymore. He got Kevin Love back healthy. He's got Kyrie playing at an all-star level. He got basically his friend in Tyronn Lue, the head coach, who sometimes is way over in his head tonight. I mean, in this series. It's tough, man. I'm waiting for Curry to have that just go off night. And I'll give you an X factor. If you look at this team real quick, Golden State, you can have Clay, Iggy, Curry, or Green, if they win tonight, be the MVP. Wouldn't it shock me if you saw some spurts with Iguodala, keep them in the game?
Uh-huh.
If it's a close game, look, 46 minutes, I might take LeBron those last two. I take Curry. I just think they find a way with the 3-point shot to put him in tonight and to win. And more importantly, guys, look, man, who's going to step up for Cleveland besides Kyrie and LeBron? Is it going to be Kevin Love, the Invisible Man? Is it going to be J.R. Smith? Is it going to be Thompson? I mean, I'm tired of Kevin Love. I'm tired of
I think a lot of people
giving
are.
This guy excuse. He's a max guy. Mm-hmm. He's a max guy. How can you feel sorry for this guy? He's a bad fit. When he was in Minnesota, he was the first option with Rubio. Get him the ball, distribute the ball. Mm-hmm. He cannot create his own shot. Don't be shocked tonight if Tyronn Lue tries to force feed him the ball early just to get his confidence going. And then if that doesn't, if that falters, you know, you get the old man in there, Richard Jefferson, to provide a spark. But I like Golden State in a close game.
I actually agree with you. I think he will go to Kevin Love early, try to give him some confidence. I think that's the game plan. I'm not a fan of it. To be honest with you, I think this is game. This is a game seven for Cleveland. This is another game seven.
Sure.
So I look at it like you got to do whatever it takes to win. I'm not for making people feel good just to get them involved. I think if you need LeBron to be 40 LeBron, then LeBron has to be 40 LeBron. If you need Kyrie Irving to be that guy he was, we saw in game five, that has to happen. But this is my question to you. Say Cleveland does win tonight. How much pressure is on Golden State, knowing that you have, and LeBron is rolling in this game as well, how much pressure is on Golden State in a game seven, knowing that, quote unquote, let's just be honest, in terms of a complete player, the best player in the game, LeBron James, is hot and ready to go in game seven, and knowing that if he's going that good and he's in that rhythm in a game seven, knowing that he impacts both sides of the ball, how much pressure is on Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green?
Yeah, it's a great question. It really is. It's funny because I tweeted out today for the show, who's got more pressure tonight? Is it Curry to close it out, or is it LeBron to extend it? If Cleveland finds a way to win tonight, and they gut it out, right? They just gut out a win at home. They get all that momentum. It's really hard. What does Golden State always say? Strength in numbers, right? They've got Golden State is a 73-win team for a reason. They're the better team, the more talented team, the better perimeter jump shooting team. They got more depth, and they also had that game seven at home. I don't think the pressure is going to be enormous. We'll make it out to be. That's what we do, right? We like to exaggerate on things. Mm-hmm. I still think that's their comfort zone. But think about this. I mean, you're about to lose three games in a series. When was the last time they lost three games in a row?
Exactly.
I mean, Cleveland went in Golden State and beat them twice. So that's kind of where you hang your hat with Cleveland and say, well, they could steal a game seven. I think the pressure would be huge. I don't think it would be enormous. Hey, here's my thing. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
How about this? How about Steph Curry play some defense, stop turning the ball over, stop chewing on your mouth guard, and put together a MVP effort? And I'll say this, too. If they win tonight, Cleveland, and LeBron comes out in game seven, closeout games, and also elimination games,
mm-hmm.
he's on another level, scoring about 32 a clip in his career. And LeBron and the Cavs win a game seven on the road down 3-1 against Golden State.
Mm-hmm.
The referendum is already made on LeBron. His legacy, retire, walk away, you can do whatever you want. It's no one will ever be able to criticize him ever again. So to me, he's kind of in a win-win for mm-hmm. Steph Curry. Uh-oh, you lose tonight, you lose game seven. People are going to start looking and saying, okay, maybe there's something wrong with that Golden State team. How come they couldn't close this team out up 3-1?
This is a two-part question I have for you, too. You had a valid point. I mean, you made a point. I actually totally agree with you on terms of LeBron James. If he does come back and win the series, it's because, you know, he has so much negativity about him and his career and his legacy and whatnot. And, you know, if he wins a championship against this team, a 73-19, coming back 3-1, I don't think there's nothing you can say. But what do you think, to give on that even more, what do you think, what does that do for his legacy in terms of ranking him in terms of all-time greats? Like, who would you put him over? And secondly, if Steph Curry wins the NBA, you know, wins the NBA Finals and does perform at a high level, right, and he's not the MVP, what does that do for Steph Curry?
Mm-hmm.
Because usually when you're the superstar of your team, you typically win an NBA a Finals MVP, and he hasn't gotten – a Finals MVP in both occasions.
I'll go with the Curry one first. I think when you look at Curry, you know, everyone was kind of concerned with his size and his ankles coming out of college in Davidson. He's kind of proved everyone wrong. You win back-to-back NBA Finals, and you're the league MVP. Regular season, I'm not really concerned about the playoffs, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Does he take a little bit of a hit? Is there criticism that'll be justified and warranted if they lose and he struggles tonight in Game 7? Oh, of course, and rightfully so. The issue with Steph Curry is that we look at him and we think he is the best all-around player on that team. He's not. Mm-hmm. It's Klay Thompson.
Okay.
You know, Klay Thompson's got to guard the toughest guys night in and night out. So, yeah, will Curry take a little bit of hit? Sure. If he wins, we'll just say he's one of the all-time great shooters. He's got two NBA finals on his resume. He's got an MVP as well. And, you know, he'll continue and we'll still wax poetic about him. As far as LeBron, man, I know what you're saying, and it's not that I disagree with you, and I'm not, I get this way when people talk about his legacy cemented.
Okay.
I don't know why people find, you can say he doesn't have that it factor. You know, we killed him years ago, but he didn't want to take the big shot in a couple of the finals games in the playoffs, and then he came back and had the huge game against the Boston Celtics, and then they struggled in game three against the Mavericks, and the Mavericks went on that run, and Heat were up 2-0, and Dallas wins it in six, and people kill LeBron because he's not score first, right? He likes to distribute the basketball. That's who he is. He's never going to be that Kobe. He's never going to be that Jordan. His legacy is cemented, but man, you come back 3-1 against a team that won 73 games, and they were the beast in the NBA, and you win that series, and more importantly, you go on the road and win it. And here's another one. You bring a championship to Cleveland?
Exactly.
I mean, he's gonna have a statue, he'll have a stadium, he'll have streets named after him. I mean, that's the legacy cemented times 10. It'll be cemented times 10.
Now, that was such a well thought out explanation you just gave, but I just really don't see it happening. I'm glad you did, though. It kind of painted a picture for me.
you don't see winning tonight.
I think LeBron's going home tonight.
You had your notes thought out, but it's not happening.
LeBron is going home tonight, but you know what? You could make a documentary about what if with just what you just said. It was that good.
Let me ask you something. Let me ask you guys this. What does Golden State need to do to win tonight?
Oh, this is, I think, I actually have Cleveland winning tonight. So, me personally, I have Cleveland winning tonight. And you listen to Urban Sports saying, my man Ray G's and myself, Wally, my man Rich. I think that what Golden State needs to do, they need Steph, and because I always state, I feel like on the road, your superstars have to step up. Role players, I don't expect role players to step up on the road. I just don't. But on the road, I expect Klay Thompson and Steph Curry to step up. They have to be great. That's why they won in Cleveland in game four, because they stepped up. They set the tone. They stepped up. Down the stretch, they stepped up. So for them to win, Steph has to do what he did in game four, and Klay has to do the same thing what he did in game four. If they don't play well, they're losing. That's my, like, I don't care about Draymond. I don't care about Harrison Barnes. Harrison Barnes could drop 18. Draymond could have a triple double. But if Klay Thompson and Steph Curry don't step up on the road, they're not winning the game. So they have this. Those two have the ball. They have to be the two best players on the court.
They got depth, though. I mean, look, you get Varejao some minutes. You get Mo Bucket. You get Livingston. You got Iggy. Man, they're tough. Mm-hmm. See, here's your fear if you're a Cavs fan. Golden State weathers that early storm, right? On the road, first quarter, tight game. Then all of a sudden, they're up 4-6.
That's the problem.
And then Curry has, 16 points going into the locker room, maybe 15 points, kind of quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Then that third quarter is when they really have to turn around. They have to give LeBron a little bit of a blow, a little bit of a breather.
Yeah.
And that's when Curry and Thompson kind of take over. See, that's a problem I had with Tyronn Lue the other day, because think about this. When they were trying to, when they were hacking all over the place with Thompson, I mean, that's the time where you actually have to have these guys on the floor. Mm-hmm. That's where he kind of got out coached. So to me, that's Curry and Thompson time. So I agree with you in that regard. If that happens, then they're losing. If it's tight though, and LeBron's in his zone and Kyrie's in his zone and everything's falling into place and maybe Love wakes up, I mean, and gives them something and has a little confidence and he's knocking down a couple of jumpers and he's playing in the post and they're kicking it out and they're creating that shot and J.R. Smith gets in rhythm. Then, yeah, Cleveland has a very good shot to win it. But, again, well thought off, well written out, and well spoken, I don't see that. I think Iguodala is quietly going to be the X factor. Like, for some reason, he just kind of, it's weird with Iggy, right? He was a Sixer. He never really, he was never that guy. I mean, he tried to be that guy, but you stick him with Golden State and it just works with him. And he just plays perimeter defense. He can shoot. He can drive. He's got that juice. He's got that energy. I don't know. I look for him to kind of, to help out tonight. And then obviously you look for Clay and Curry to get you your 25-30. And that's pretty much all she wrote.
Yeah. I think Golden State's a immensely tougher team. I also feel like, you know, the media plays a big role in kind of, you know, giving them that sense that their backs are against the wall. You didn't have Draymond. You now have an injury. You're on the road. And I think they play at their best with a better coach, as you already alluded to. But I just want to thank you again for joining us tonight. I got to visit you when I'm up in Jersey, man. I got family and AC. I'm always up there.
You guys have an open invite. I'm always down at the D.C. doing fights as well. So we'll definitely hook it up.
Sounds good. Hey Rich.
Yeah.
Also, how can people reach you and whatnot on social media or even your radio show?
Absolutely. Pretty easy on Twitter. It's Rich Q on Q. The same with IG, Instagram, Rich Q on Q. Television-wise, if you ever check out CBS Sports, CBS Sports Network, you might see me calling a lot of stuff ringside, boxing, MMA, Muay Thai, kickboxing. And then during the week, 1 to 2 Eastern time, 97.3 ESPN FM. So you guys can go online with that, and always look forward to the DMV crowd chiming in. I know you guys are getting geeked up. You guys are getting all juiced up over Kirk Cousins. You know what? Only 2 years in a row, then we can start talking.
I know. You're so right. But hey, we would love to have you for boxing sometime, too.
Absolutely, guys. Hey, look, man, keep it up. Keep doing your thing. Keep hustling and grinding. You guys sound great. You got a fan here. I appreciate a couple moments with you guys.
Right? Oh, we appreciate it. Thank you. Have a good one, Rich.
All right, you got it, guys. Be well.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Oh, man. Rich was awesome, man. That was good, man. He actually almost swayed me.
I picked Golden State in seven, you know, coming into the series because I felt as though Cleveland was going to be much more competitive, being that they were healthy. But then, you know, looking at the way, you know, the series has played out, I feel like Golden State has the potential to end it tonight. It's been great for basketball, though, and great for the NBA to see, you know, the two best players in the league right now go head-to-head. I think it's been fun to watch. And it's great that Golden State didn't end it at home the other night, just, you know, from a fan perspective, even though I'm sure Steve Kerr would probably say, no, I would rather end it in game five.
Again, that was my man Rich Quinones from 97.3 ESPN FM Radio, South Jersey. He's the host of the Warm Up. So make sure you check him out. Again, he's on usually from 1 to 2, Monday through Friday. So make sure you check him out. But I'm going to tell you something. I disagreed with Rich just a little bit. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm going to talk about just a little bit. It's about Draymond Green. We'll talk about that after the break. It's the Urban Sports Scene. For ages, you dig? Deuces.
When nothing seems to help, I go and look at a stone cutter, hammering away at his rock. Perhaps 100 times without so much as a crack showing in it. Yet at the 101st blow, it will split in two. And I know it was not that blow that did it, but all those that came before.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. Ray Wally Realty is on injury reserve. Shout out to him. We're also on Twitter at Urban Sports Scene. No S after sports. You can also listen to us on the Sports Grid Podcast each and every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio. Just search www.blogtalkradio.com/WC. Still a fan. The show is produced by West Coast. Still a fan. The NBA Finals. We're still talking NBA Finals. Because right now it's dominating the headlines. We just had a guest on our show, and Wally said he disagreed. I don't know if I disagree with what he said. I felt like he had a lot of good points.
He had great points. I don't want to act like I disagree with everything. I think he had a lot of valid points. My thing, disagree with him is the old notion that Draymond Green is like the big, like, was this big difference. I feel like LeBron James wanted to score 40 points. There's nothing Draymond Green can do about it. We've seen good defensive players, especially like in the Boston. I mean, I'll use a reference to Detroit Pistons. When LeBron scored, had that awesome series against them, and there were so many great defenders on that team with Chauncey Billups, Tayshaun Prince, Rip Hamilton. Those were good. That was a good defensive team, and he still did whatever he wanted to do in that series. So I feel like when LeBron James is going on that groove, there's not that many teams, players or teams that can stop him. We saw that even with the Boston Celtics, that team was a real good defensive team, and LeBron had that game in Miami where he took over in that elimination game and pretty much took over that game. So I feel like if LeBron is in that rhythm, there's nothing a Draymond Green can do. So I think in game five, Draymond Green wouldn't have been an issue.
I'm going to go to the other side of the ball. On the offensive side, after the big game two where Draymond Green scored 28 points, was virtually unstoppable, even though he was not guarded in that game because that was a strategy, according to reports. You look at his game three, when they were blown out by 30 points, Draymond Green was 2 for 8 from the field, 0 for 4 from 3, and he was out-rebounded by Harrison Barnes, which can happen. You go back, you fast forward to game four, which was a victory for Golden State. He was 2 for 9, again, 0 from 4 from 3. He did lead the team in rebounds with 12 boards, but it shows that even when he doesn't have his best night offensively, Golden State can still win. And he struggles at times when no one talks about that. All they talk about is how fiery he is. Now, don't get me wrong. I like his energy. I like what he brings to the table, similar to like a Joakim Noah, who is not the most offensive talented guy. But based on the fact that he had those intangibles, he had that ferocity, as Stephen A. Smith would say. He was celebrated for that, and that's what Draymond brings to the table. He does a lot. Don't get me wrong. That's why he gets triple-doubles. But sometimes I think his contributions are overstated. And that's what bothers me, is that he's sort of, again, just like many other Golden State Warriors, including the two stars, they're media darlings. So Draymond Green, when he plays poorly, the media doesn't say a whole lot. Now, he's not on LeBron's level. They're not going to pounce on him as they do LeBron. Of course, I don't think anybody gets criticized as heavily in the media, in the NBA, more than LeBron James. But that's besides the point. What I'm trying to say is, we know who makes the Golden State Warriors go. Draymond Green is an important part of it. But what's the slogan again? Strength in numbers. So it's a team effort with them, because Steph Curry does. In the first two games, did he play well? No. But they won. So I don't think there needs to be emphasis on one guy. And we've seen over time the NBA has changed things in regards to how they award people. I'm trying to find a specific example. But what I'm getting at is, how come the finals MVP has to be one person? Why can't it be a committee? I'm thinking that was it the NFL where one time it was like an entire unit that received MVP award or something?
I want to say the Patriots. I'm not gonna guarantee it though. I feel like it's happened before, though.
That's what I'm saying. And maybe it's not the NBA. Maybe I'm speaking incorrectly. But I felt like, you know, we'll have to put it on social media. We've seen committees get awards. I think it was the Giants when they won a Super Bowl. I don't think there was one Super Bowl MVP. I think it was by committee, but I could be wrong.
I think they give it.
Is it always to one individual person?
It's always to one person. It's always to one person, now that I think about
it. So am I thinking about something different, maybe?
I know that some people will be represented as a unit. I've seen that, but I think that it's always given to one person, though. Maybe a co. I've seen a co, but I've never seen a whole unit.
Because right now,
All-Star games are.
If the finals ends tonight, who's going to be the MVP? Whoever has the big game tonight.
I believe whoever has the big game tonight gets the MVP.
I would love to see Clay get it, to be honest, based on his body of work. But, you know, nonetheless, again, going back to Draymond Green, the original topic, the Warriors, they win as a group, and he's an important part of that. But clearly, it's next guy up with them, and I think that's key in just looking at his absence and also the entire landscape of the series and how it's played out.
Now, see, for me, again, just looking at the way, this is my thing about, and I feel like Draymond Green is overblown. And I even had people come at me and say that Draymond Green's the real MVP of the Warriors. And I'm like, Steph Curry is still the best player on the team. He's the MVP of the team, in my opinion, because to me, he's shown you a body of work. He's shown you in the Portland series where that team looked like they were going to lose against Portland in game four. Portland had a nice lead. Obviously, Livingston gets ejected, so that plays a part. But Portland's on a nice roll. You insert Steph Curry. Steph Curry is having a good game. But then you saw in the fourth quarter he just turns it on, and in overtime he takes over, and then they win the series. If Steph isn't out there, they lose that series. Draymond Green is out there. He's not playing at his best level of basketball. That's a big time game. And Steph Curry, the MVP of the team, shows you how valuable it is. I've heard experts, fans come out and state that they think Draymond Green's the most valuable player to this team. I feel Draymond Green is a good basketball player. One of the best role players in basketball in the game, period. One of the best. But at the same time, let's not overvalue Draymond Green.
No, I'm not even going as far as saying he's one of the best role players in the league. He's on the right team in the right system. No, seriously, if you put him on the Wizards, I don't think you have the same impact.
Totally agree. Totally agree.
But I'm going to go from a different angle than what you just took, because I feel like there would not be a Draymond Green if there wasn't a Steph Curry.
Yeah, agree.
I make the comparison of the Bulls. My favorite player growing up was Scottie Pippen. I used to always argue Scottie Pippen is – you know, better than Jordan, equally as important as Jordan. Nah, I'm sorry to say, but, you know, without Jordan, Scottie Pippen would not be the player that he was. Mm-hmm. Now, he's still super talented. Draymond Green clearly is talented. And, you know, hearing Tom Izzo's comments about, you know, how he needs to control his emotions, it took me back to Tom Izzo referencing him needing to lose weight. And that made the biggest difference in his career, because Draymond Green is better now. You get better in the NBA, but he was not this guy I looked at as a talent in college. I just didn't. So anyway, I feel as though while he's worked on his body and his game, the reason why Golden State is who they are is because of Stephen Curry, who's built this team over time to fall under, you know, his leadership and to I want to say, you know, march at his beat. Also, he gives them the confidence that they have. Draymond Green, that's why he has swagger, because he knows he has Steph on his squad. I think they do feed off each other. But again, just the reason why I did not take the same angle as you did, because, you know, Draymond, Clay, they did carry that team when Steph was out against the Rockets, which people would say that wasn't a good matchup. Yeah, I mean, because the Rockets weren't a good team, but they still have Dwight Howard, James Harden. They were a bit disorganized, but still, you win that, and then you win a few games against Portland without Steph being there and 100%. So these guys still play a big role. I mean, many people thought the Clippers were the title favorites when Steph got hurt. So you got to show some love to Draymond Green and the rest of the guys on that team. But no, without Steph, they're not who they are. And, you know, give Steve Kerr a lot of credit too for what he's done. So, again, we can't focus just on one guy, and there's no way Draymond Green is MVP.
Hey, call in. The number is 240-478-3140. We have a question for you when you do call in. This is the question: is Draymond Green a difference in this series? And so tonight, will he be the difference? Was he the difference in Game 5? And tonight, will he be the difference tonight in Game 6? We want to hear from you, so call in. The number is 240-478-3140. That's 470-478-3140. Back to Draymond Green. We didn't talk about it, but game four when he got suspended. Game four, he had LeBron James. He had LeBron James low because LeBron James walked over him.
It was weak.
But
it was so weak. And
go ahead.
I'm just shocked by the social media reaction. LeBron is one of the most hated players in the NBA. The guy who gained some notoriety for dunking on LeBron, Jordan Crawford, who, you know, we know very well, played for the Wizards, he tweeted, quote, "I wonder what Draymond is going to do now when they celebrate after the game." So he basically was saying the Golden State was going to win. You know, then Matt Barnes really went hard on LeBron, saying, you know, it's a GD shame that he disrespected that man and stepped over him. This is ridiculous. So many people chimed in on Twitter, NBA players, and they were on Draymond's side. LeBron James, he downplayed what's being said on social media.
Mm-hmm. He did, in a
press conference. He's being honest in the sense that he does, according to him, take a break from social media when he's making a playoff run, a championship run. But it's amazing what guys really think and feel. And you know that anyway, based on, you know, the Joe Kim Noles of the world and how they responded to LeBron in the past. Deshaun Stevenson. Now, one can say he was a rival with them, but somewhat. Well, they viewed him as a rival, I'm sure. But that's where I was. But I feel like LeBron definitely purposely stepped over him. And
of course he purposely stepped over him. This is my argument.
Which was wrong, and then they're going to assess him a technical after the game.
All right, so this is my argument. You've been playing a certain style of basketball. You've been playing this flustering style of basketball, waving your hands, playing, I don't want to call it dirty, but to a lot of people, it's been deemed dirty basketball, Draymond Green. If Dennis Rodman, and we watched Dennis Rodman growing up, we watched Dennis Rodman. So right. If Dennis Rodman hits the floor, right? He's on the floor. Are you helping him up? If you're like a player and knowing all the answers that Dennis Rodman has made in his career, you're not helping him up. You would walk over at Dennis Rodman. You may stomp on a Dennis Rodman, to be honest with you.
So you justify LeBron's
actions? I'm just saying, like, that's what
you understand why he did what he did?
I understand why he did what he did. I think people make it seem as if Draymond Green is Steph Curry. Draymond Green is Klay Thompson. Those individuals, I look at it like, okay, they're not dirty. They don't try to get in the mix of everything. So I understand. If you're going to say that happened to them, I'll be like, okay, yeah, that's kind of dirty. Like, to do it to Steph Klay Thompson, Azili, or Harrison Barnes.
I disagree because LeBron James and Draymond Green, first of all, are cool, and they have a business relationship.
Dennis Rodman,
I can't name a whole lot of people outside some Bad Boy Pistons and teammates because they have to be who are friends with him.
Yeah, I know. Again, I'm just talking about your antics in the game. Like if I'm playing dirty in the game to you, like if I'm elbowing you, doing cheap shots to you in the game, I hit the floor. I don't expect you to be like, I'm going to help you up or sidestep me. I would expect you to walk over me. I would expect the worst. That's my thing. I would expect the worst.
Yeah, I just feel as though the NBA didn't handle it correctly.
But it's out of reputation, though. Like anything, you hit that spot. You hit that section enough times. That's what's going to happen, man. You know what I mean? Like, I believe, and I'm going to say this again. I believe all those situations were done by accident. But unfortunately for Draymond Green, he attacked the wrong spot.
Nah, I think it has nothing to do with that. And it has more to do and all to do with LeBron was frustrated, period. Oh, he was frustrated with the way things were going in the series.
Oh, you're talking about LeBron? Oh, why he did it?
Yeah, that's the reason why he stepped
up. I agree.
All of his actions were out of frustration. LeBron gets all types of things said to him all the time. How many fights have we seen LeBron in since he's been in the NBA? Zero. Because he's not a tough guy. He's professional. No.
I agree.
He's a businessman. He knows he's a top player. Like he said, he used a Jay-Z quote, I think, in the last series against Toronto. If I shoot you, famous. Now I'm brainless. You shoot me, you're famous. He said, "Why get involved when I'm who I am?" But now he's playing against a team that does not view him as superior, and he's losing to them. And Brian Windhorst said it greatly. He said, "This is the only team in the league that has owned LeBron James outside of the Boston Celtics in the past." But eventually, LeBron figured them out. But he's struggling to figure these Warriors out where he can just own them as he did our Wizards with the promising trio. Gilbert Arenas, Antoine Jameson, and Caron Butler. So LeBron was frustrated. LeBron is frustrated. And I think it shows when every time he wins a finals game against the Warriors, there is this, to me, excessive celebration.
Last year
he slammed the ball in Oracle, and said, it takes everything. And then he downplayed it when he gets interviewed, which all NBA players do. But to me, he was a bit, and he was excessive too this past game. I think he was him and Kyrie. So. Kyrie was like that in game three.
Yeah, maybe Kyrie, but I don't think LeBron was.
I think both of them.
I thought he did was a hug, and then he hugged Kyrie and walked out. That's all I saw.
There's a lot of laughter. There's a lot of fist pumping. I'm just saying, you know, these things to me play a big role. This is what happened when LeBron played against the Dallas Mavericks with the Miami Heat. Dirk said specifically, and Sean Murray, we didn't like the way they were celebrating in that game two when they were up 15 and they looked like they were about to go up 2-0. And what happened? Dallas came back and won that game two in Miami. And it's because guys were overconfident before things were all said and done.
So when you say the same thing about Golden State then, when they won in Cleveland? Because they were celebrating more than LeBron was.
That, to me, that is their makeup. Here's why. You notice when Cleveland was sweeping teams and playing, looking like they were unbeatable in the East, did they do excessive celebrating? No, because they knew they were supposed to do that. You get me? When Golden State, all Golden State did against Oklahoma City in Game 6 was tie the series and send it back home. And they were celebrating like the series was over. Because they had just tied the series and forced the Game 7. This is who Golden State is. Did you see when the same Oklahoma City team, Steph Curry, hit that long three-pointer from
Maryland? I know.
He celebrated. This is what they do because they have this certain type of swagger about them. Versus the Cavs? No. The Cavs know that Golden State has had their number, and this is why anytime they can get a W, they celebrate excessively.
I don't think that – I mean, I agree with you. I know I get your point about Golden State, but the Cavs over celebrate.
They're very demonstrative. Tristan Thompson, game three, he gets Curry to turn the ball over. You know, it's the entire team.
But everybody does that during points in the game. Like, he's a big guard of Steph Curry.
I'm not saying – I say it's excessive. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying – of course you're supposed to celebrate when you're playing tough defense. But I'm saying against Golden State, I feel like they're a bit excessive.
You're supposed to show emotion. Like, you always tell me.
Yes. But when you – listen here. It's just like horse. When I play you a horse.
Exactly.
If I fire you up, then I know I put myself in a situation where I could lose. If I get on your nerves and I strategically go about it, then I know I can get the mental advantage. This is not what they're doing, though. I think you're showing up your opponent, one that has more talent than you do, has a better team is what I was going to say. It's wrong. It's going to show. I think tonight is going to be a close game like everybody's expecting, and I think Golden State pulls out. I've changed my prediction just based on how I've seen the series go.
How did you change your prediction?
Because in the beginning of the series, I said Warriors in 7, not 6.
Oh, so you still believe it's going to be – you believe it's 6?
Yeah, well, the reason why – part of why I'm changing it too is because I thought they would split the first two games. And then I felt as though, you know, it would be 2-2 heading back to Golden State.
And on Twitter, my man Pat was like, I asked the question, will Draymond Green be the difference tonight? My man Pat was like, yep, will help on defense, and I mean, offense and defense, just has to keep his head. Do you think that Draymond Green will play wild?
Because Draymond Green show.
Yeah, exactly.
We love Draymond Green now.
You know, I just like that dude. Do you think that Draymond Green
will play Draymond Green?
I know, me too. In all different fashions. Do you think Draymond Green will keep his cool?
No,
why am I giving Draymond Green this much play? But go ahead, continue.
I think he'll keep his emotions in check to where it won't be a problem. But no, he's going to be who he is, especially if they get an early lead or they take a late lead. Whenever they get a lead, you know he's going to be demonstrative. That's who he is. And Kyrie has been doing a lot of staring after he scores. I think he's going to definitely respond, especially having to watch that game at home and seeing the way those guys, the way they celebrated.
You talking about last year?
No.
You told Kyrie. You said Kyrie.
No. I'm saying Draymond had to watch the last game at home. Sorry. Now, what I didn't know is that, just a side note, I didn't know he was going to be allowed in the arena if they would have won to celebrate.
Oh, yeah, I knew about that. I heard about that.
Anyway, but he watched that celebration from home, and there's nothing he can do about it. He's fired up coming out tonight. The only thing I don't like about him, though, at the same time, is that he's posing for pictures after they lost Game 3. Did you see that?
He posed
for a picture with a girl on the sideline. Yeah,
Draymond Green, man.
Even after
I feel like Draymond Green is too much.
He might have liked her. You wanted to came up with this, so
obviously this is like so annoying.
So it's on you. But if you noticed in Game 3, I mean, the game was out of reach. They were on the bench in the fourth quarter. He was sitting there. I don't know who he was talking to in the crowd, but he was corresponding with somebody, and he had a big smile on his face. And Steph looked at him like, "Hold up, I'm all for that, but not right now."
Who, Draymond?
Yeah.
What game are you talking about?
Game three.
Game three. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. They were getting blown out in the fourth quarter, and he didn't look concerned at all. I do like that about them. You know, clearly, from Jump Street, most of the pressure or more of the pressure has been on Cleveland. Even though the only thing Golden State has to be concerned about is if you lose, this 73-9 season goes down the tank.
Of course, that's a lot of pressure.
That is pressure. You know, you're in Cleveland. You're LeBron James. You have a bad finals record as it is. You know, you're healthy this year. All your talk has been about our healthy team playing against them this time is going to be different. And Golden State actually has a chance to close them out at home, just like they did last year.
Definitely, definitely. Again, feel free to call in numbers 240-478-3140. The question is, do you think Draymond Green will make a big difference? Call in, tell us what you think. Again, the number is 240-478-3140. All right, predictions of tonight's game, though.
Golden State, I think Golden State wins by 8.
Golden State by 8?
Yep.
I have Cleveland winning by 10.
Okay. And that's very well possible, too. I'm not disagreeing with you at all. If they win, I think Cleveland's going to win by double figures. I definitely agree.
By 10, I think LeBron James continues what he's doing. And to the question of Draymond Green being an impact in this game, I think LeBron James, and I've always stated this before about LeBron James, when he's assertive, he has to – He can't hesitate. So what I mean by that is when Golden State sags off on him, he has to take that jump shot. He can't hesitate. If he hesitates, he's gonna have a bad night.
Yeah, and he can't play like he's blessed to be at home. He played like a desperate man in Game 5, and it paid off. And the funny thing is, like everybody's saying, he took it upon himself. He had the onus last year, knowing he didn't have much help, and he played dominating basketball. It just wasn't enough. Mm-hmm. Now you can still play that way with the guys you have. The problem is, you know, it's hard for him and Kyrie to get going at the same time. You know, I think Game 5 is an aberration, honestly. I don't think you'll see that again where they both have, you know, dominating games like that.
I think it can happen. Mm-hmm. I think because I don't think there's nobody on – and I've always – I say this about Kyrie Irving. I don't think anybody
– can guard him.
Can guard him. In the NBA.
I don't think so either. I think Golden State does a great job in switching, though, with Draymond and Iggy all on the court. Mm-hmm. I'm just concerned about, you know, Festus Ezeli and Maurice Space. During the regular season, Maurice Space fits in perfectly. He knocks down Jays and everything. But
I think he's
postseason, he's
another overrated player to me.
He's an imposter. No. He shouldn't even be considered a top player, but I'm just saying he plays his role off the bench. Just like Brandon Rush and others that come off the bench.
I know, Brandon. And even is it McAdoo?
Oh, come on now. Barbosa, to me, he plays good basketball.
Oh, my God. So
the words are deep, man.
All right, man. The Washington Redskins quarterback Kirk Cousins feels that he hasn't plateaued yet.
You're not talking about Draymond Green no more?
No, we don't, Draymond. Do you agree? Or do you feel that Kirk Cousins can actually be better next season?
No.
We'll discuss that after the break. It's the Urban Sports Scene. For ages, you dig? Deuces.
Strast in Russian means passion. I play all out every game. I give it everything I have. I broke my nose, got stitches, and scored 4 goals. I do it for you. I do it for Russia. That is Strast.
I seen your girl post a BM, so I hit her in the DM. All eyes, yeah, I see him. Yeah, that's your man, I hate to be him.
I'm Rashawn Ross, I listen to Urban Sports Scene.
Yeah, you're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. We're back here. I'm here with my man Ray Jeezy, myself, Wally. Will T is out on the DL. The IR?
On the DL.
On the DL. But he should be back in a couple weeks, man.
He stepped out the house and it was a wrap. It was a wrap.
Down goes Will T.
High risk situation. But no, I don't want to make light of it.
Nah,
I know that.
That's my dude, though, man.
That can be very serious injuries. I haven't sustained them in my life, but
also like our
doing something though.
Also like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Maybe the worst. like I mentioned before the break. Kirk Cousins on CSN Mid-Atlantic, Kirk Cousins stated that he feels that he hasn't plateaued yet. Do you feel that next season possibly could be better than last season?
This upcoming season, it's going to be hard for him to top what he did last season. Uh-huh. Over 4,000 yards passing at a 70% completion rate.
29 touchdown passes?
Yeah. I think it's going to be tough. He could possibly throw for more touchdowns, especially if you have a healthy receiving core. With Jordan Reed, a healthy Niles Paul coming back, I just don't know if he can throw at that, that high of a percentage rate. Uh-huh. No. Because to me, in the beginning of the season, I don't know what was his average as far as yards per completion. That's what I need to know, because I feel like, you know, he had a lot of short completions, you know, earlier in the year based on my observation. But I guess I'll have to look at the stats. It's going to be hard to do that. It's great that he has that confidence, and I think you want to hear that from your quarterback going in. The key for Kirk Cousins is, you know, overcoming adversity.
About 7 yards. About, no, 8 yards. About
See,
eight
that's
yards.
What I'm saying. That's not, about 8 yards. That's not a lot. Do you think that's a lot?
No, because he did a lot of, you know, he did a lot of safe
exactly.
passes.
Exactly. So maybe the completion percentage, you know, you can put an asterisk by it, but it's still remarkable. Don't get me wrong, especially when teams know what's coming. Mm. You know, you have a good head coach, a good offensive head coach, I should say. So that's a bonus for him. But usually when a team has had a year to study you, they have you figured out. But, you know, Kirk Cousins has been playing in this league for a while. That was his first full season. Again, I'm glad that he has that confidence. I'm just wondering, you know, how's he going to respond to adversity this coming year? His confidence is sky high. In the past, he didn't respond very well. This past season, he did. You know, I thought that he was pretty much done after that pick six against the Falcons. So he's bounced back. He's shown everything. It's just do it again, Kirk. And, you know, don't focus on trying to get better statistics wise, but focus on winning games and not making those big mistakes, those crucial mistakes that can, you know, be a detriment to the Redskins and their chance to increase their win total. That's what he should be focused on, you know.
Caller, join in on the discussion. Do you think that Kirk Cousins will have a better season this year compared to last season? The phone number is 240-478-3140.
I never answered the question, did I? I don't think you will.
240-478-3140. No, you said it. I don't. You know, I feel like he has more weapons, so I think he has the potential to do it. Definitely with the, you know, the acquisition of Vernon Davis, you brought in Josh Doctson. You got Jordan Reed signed up for a long term deal. You have, Deshaun Jackson, Pierre Garçon, all playing together after what happened after playing together last season, getting more continuity. So I feel like, yeah, you have the weapons to produce. And then also you got the speedster out of Georgia, the young rookie, Marshall. You got weapons out there for this team that can do some damage. And it's more weapons for Kirk Cousins to be productive. And the offensive line seems like it's improving. So I think there's an opportunity for Kirk Cousins to do quite well. But it's all and even included to that is that he has another full system as a starting quarterback in Jay Gruden's system. So he could have a big year.
I'm not saying he can, but I don't think he'll top last year for the simple fact that I expect the running game to be improved this coming season too. So he may not throw as much as he did last year when the running game was predominantly ineffective down the stretch.
See, I don't know if the running game's going to be good. I don't think that running game's going to be good. I don't have that much faith in Matt Jones.
It's not about Matt Jones. You just said the offensive line is healthy. That's all that matters.
But the running back still has to find holes. But go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You don't think he's capable of finding holes?
To me, he bounced a lot of stuff outside. He fumbled too much. I still have to see you without Pat. I got to see you.
I like Matt Jones. You know I've been biased. But
yeah, I'm not a big Matt Jones. I mean, I'm not a believer yet, because you have to average more than, you know, he didn't even average 4 yards a carry. So you got to show me something.
I wonder when, you know, we're going to be able to make a good determination about what type of season he may have. Is it going to be in preseason? Can we look at preseason?
Matt Jones or Kirk Cousins?
No, Matt Jones. No, Kirk Cousins. To me, Kirk Cousins has already proven that he's worthy of, you know, being a starter. There should be no arguments going into the season. Mm-hmm. But Matt Jones, Matt Jones is fighting for his position, I think, as starter. Mm-hmm. And preseason is going to be big for him.
Well, I think he'll be the starter. I don't think that's a question. He'll be the starter. Is that, will he be productive? That's the question.
Well, all these concerns you're bringing up, you're not the only one that has those. Of course, if you have them, other fans have them, the coaching staff. Mm-hmm. Certainly has to have some reservations, and they're probably working on, you know, his deficiencies. But, you know, when does he get a chance to prove himself? During the preseason. I think that's his audition. So I expect him to come out and have an excellent preseason. Although, you know, I think the game plan is a bit watered down during preseason too. So, you know, he's going to maximize his opportunities. Definitely.
Let's go back to Kirk Cousins. Do you think a deal will get done soon for Kirk Cousins?
I think he comes out playing strong, you know, to start the season. I think it gets done early in the year with him playing well. If he doesn't, it's going to be prolonged.
Wow, you don't think it happened before the season starts?
No. I think the jury's still out on him, unfortunately. Right. You know, he technically only had one full year as starter, and only one good season. So again, that those are the reasons. I mean, it's obvious, but it seems as though he's got the full confidence from McLuhan and Allen. But what about Snyder?
I don't know. He has it for Allen, but I know he has it for McLuhan. McLuhan.
Oh, well, why not Allen?
It's Allen. The Allen and Snyder are about the same anyway, in my opinion.
Allen just wants to keep a job.
Yeah, I don't think he. I think McLuhan's a believer. I'm not sure about Snyder and Allen. But
thought Allen was one of the people who were, you know, advocating for Kirk
to get the
opportunity, you know, ahead of Robert Griffin, who of course was loved by Daniel Snyder.
There's so many rumors. The rumors that I've heard that Allen was a Robert Griffin third guy.
Okay,
that's what I've heard.
I heard that only though because, you know, he drafted him and he convinced Shanahan to take him. But I think Allen, you know, couldn't deny what Kirk Cousins was achieving and the struggles. He could not deny the fact that Robert Griffin III was struggling.
That's true. You never know.
It's hard to determine.
Yeah, you never.
But McLuhan, we agreed.
Yeah, definitely he's a Kirk Cousins guy. But anyway, the Washington Wizards small forward Otto Porter will probably be on the market for an extension. Does he deserve it? We'll discuss that after the break. It's the Urban Sports Saying for ages. You dig? Deuces.
Time's supposed to heal ya. I ain't done much healing. Hello, can you hear me? I'm in California dreaming about who we used to be when we were younger and free. I remember how it felt before the world that lied to me. There's no difference between us, a million miles. Say hello from the other side. I must have tried a thousand times.
Yeah, you are listening to the Urban Sports Scene. My homeboy Ray Jeezy and myself, Wally Will T, is injured. I don't have anything clever to say about it. Will T is just injured. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, check out the Football Garbage Time podcast at www.footballgarbagetime.com. Make sure you listen to the Hakun Wong and Ryan Winfield, their podcast. They've done great work, so make sure you check them out. They have a great rapport with us. We do predictions from time to time, NFL games, basketball games. So we have our own little competition within the podcast. But also, like I mentioned before the break, Otto Porter, right? He improved last season. He seemed to improve every year. Absolutely. Since the year. So do you look at him as a guy that deserves a contract extension this summer?
Yeah, I think so. You drafted him, you know, in the first round. Every year he's produced more and more. In 2013-14 season, he was averaging 2 points a game. The following year, 6 points. This past season, 11.6. Look at that jump. He's also averaging more rebounds. He averaged 5 rebounds a game last year as opposed to 1 rebound his rookie year. Now, granted, he gets more minutes, but he's improving every season. His confidence is growing every season. Why not, you know, continue to stick with a guy that you've molded, and then you got Scott Brooks who develops players.
No, I'm with you. Obviously, I'm biased. I'm a Georgetown fan, so I have a liking towards Otto Porter. But yeah, he's a guy who's definitely improved, and I think the Wizards need to go away from this whole bringing Kevin Durant to DC. Groom your young talent. Groom the guys you brought in via the draft. You brought in Bradley Beal. You brought in John Wall. You brought in Otto Porter. You drafted these individuals as lottery picks, and they've all been good basketball players. John Wall, to me, is a budding superstar. Bradley Beal, has the potential to be a top flight two guard in the NBA. And Otto Porter has the ability to be a, one of those great glue guys for your team, like a Shane Battier. Maybe, you know, if you want to look at this, or better than Shane Battier.
Yeah, he's more talented than
Shane
Battier.
Okay, my bad. More talented than Shane Battier, or even, oh, I guess what would the ceiling be for him? Draymond Green has the potential to be.
Here we go, we can.
would that be it?
That's a tough question to answer. You know, Draymond Green's a bit bigger than he is, but Shane Battier may not be a bad comparison. Shane Battier was a knockdown shooter, though, who defended, you know.
For this team, he needs
Otto Porter's not a knockdown shooter. Otto Porter does a little bit of everything. I don't know who I can compare him to right now.
A poor man's Kawhi?
No, maybe like a Lamar Odom, just smaller.
Man. Yeah, a poor man, Lamar Odom, because Lamar Odom's handle was, Pat was good. His Pat was good.
I like Otto Porter's handle.
Do you really?
Not saying it's the best, but I think it's... I think it's good. I mean, in college, definitely, he got around guys with ease. He's not, I guess, as effective in the NBA because it's a bit faster in the NBA.
Got to be a little stronger, too. I think he needs to – I think for Otto Porter to take it to the next level for himself to be like an – because he has – to me, he has the skill set mentally to be an all-star NBA player. Mentally. But he's going to have to put on some weight to take it to another level.
And if he improves his jump shot – maybe
Jay's not bad. Jay's pretty. It's good to me.
I'm thinking Quentin Richardson though, who used to do everything and then kind of he evolved as a shooter.
Quentin Richardson from who you played for the Clippers?
Yeah, from DePaul.
Quentin Richardson was a way better scorer than Otto Porter.
Richardson in college played. I mean, he played big. You know,
he's like playing a post. That dude.
Right. That's what I'm saying. But then his game evolved, just like Otto Porter's is evolving. You know, he's developing.
I can't believe
range with his jump shot.
I can't believe he could Otto Porter and Quentin Richardson in the same sentence.
Quentin Richardson in the NBA is not like he's an all-time great or something. He was talented.
He was a phenomenal basketball player. To me, was. I thought Quentin Richardson had he scored 30 at times for the Clippers. He used to me was up and coming.
I think Otto Porter is capable of that. Of having big nights,
so.
He showed it.
As a Georgetown fan, I hope so. I just don't. I don't know. I think they. I don't know. That would be a good one. If he could be a Quentin Richardson, that'd be awesome.
Dude,
I don't see it though.
Quentin Richardson, he was a role player in the NBA
With the Clippers, he wasn't. When he first started, until he left the Clippers, yeah, he was a role player. With the Clippers, him and Darius Miles used to do the little head.
And Lamar Odom was on that team.
Yeah, that was an awesome team, a very, very talented team. But like Ray said, you know, Otto Porter's improved every year. He averaged 2 points his first year, 6 points his second year, 11 points his third year. Next season, so he should be averaging 15 points. What do you think they'll average next year? 15 points?
Yeah, with the new coach, I expect his scoring to increase. Absolutely.
So this is I'm not gonna put it on the show for you all to call in for this question. So I'm gonna tweet this, and make sure you tweet us back.
Oh, how many points? Only 23 points.
It was
28 points. Yeah. Oh.
How many points you think Otto Porter's gonna average next season? Tweet it out to us. And I'll respond back to you and say if you're ridiculous or not. I'll probably think you're ridiculous if you say anything higher than 15. Quentin Richardson would like that, man.
I like Quentin Richardson. I'm just saying I'm thinking of people that you could, you know, compare him, not necessarily compare his game to, but who he could become and evolve into. Because like I said, Quentin Richardson's game did just that. It evolved. It changed. And he adapted and did quite well. Again, he wasn't a shooter at first. So. Otto Porter already has a nice jump shot. Why not extend your range, playing a faster offense? What's up with that?
It's a chance.
And he's a good defender.
Yeah,
I'm not saying he's gonna be an all-star. Quentin Richardson made a few all-star games, I believe.
No, I don't think he made any. Check it out. I don't think so though. Not with the Clippers though.
Oh, you just said that was his best years with the Clippers.
I don't think with the Suns. I mean, with the Suns.
No, I don't think so. Maybe he didn't make any at all, then, which validates my earlier point.
You don't gotta make an All Star team to be. I think it was with the Suns.
To be a top player, you do need to make an All Star game.
I think it's with the Suns though. I think he made it with the Suns. That way, I feel good about myself. I think it's with the Suns.
I don't know if he made any at all because here's the thing. Typically,
I know what's happening right now.
No,
I'm gonna check this thing out.
He won a 3-point contest 1 year though. I see that. Which is pretty amazing.
That's what his claim to fame. He made it, 3-point contest.
But again, that's big though, right?
Anybody can be.
And look, shoot three. He was picked 18th overall. Otto Porter Jr. was picked higher than he was.
Quinn Richardson. What?
Yeah.
A three-point con.
He Quinn Richardson was the Conference USA Player of the Year.
He was a great college. He was an awesome college player.
But he never made the All-Star game.
I know.
So why can't Otto Porter become Quinn Richardson?
I don't think he's.
And he only averaged for his career 10 points a game.
No, but look at his stats.
You just like Quinn Richardson.
Look at his points for the Clippers, though. With the Clippers, though. That's okay, the question.
Oh, look.
Yeah, we have time. We'll stall time for this one. With the Clippers, though.
Look, you looked that up.
I'm looking at it right now. I am looking it up.
Yeah, I know. It's hard to find, isn't it?
It's not. It's easy. Okay. Actually, it's easy to find.
2000 to 2004, he played with the Clippers. You can find out.
What easy. I didn't do all that.
What did he average, though, with the
for
Clippers?
For the Clippers, what did he average throughout his whole career with the Clippers?
You start stuttering. You know it's hard. I told you.
No, I found it. I found it. It's right here. Don't stop. Let me make myself right, great.
Go ahead.
Right.
Go ahead, sir.
The Clippers.
I'm
the
a
Clippers.
Nice guy.
Bro, he had 12 points a game.
I was the Eddie Murphy man. Like,
12 points a game.
12 points a game. 12 points. Exactly, dude. I don't know where you're getting that. Quentin Richardson 17, was a star.
He averaged 17
he's a
points
star in college.
In 2004, he averaged 17 points a game.
Hey, that was his last year with the Clippers.
Bang!
He reached that point.
17 points a game. Bang, son! 17! You don't get any better than 17 points a game. That's close to 20. That's 3 points away from 20.
Include him in a tweet and see if he'll respond.
I will. Quentin Richardson is one of the better players to ever come out of DePaul.
Of course he is. Shoot, who else is there?
We got to wrap this show up, man.
Who else is there?
We got to wrap this show
Bobby,
up.
Bobby, whatever his name was, he played for the Wizards for a few years.
Oh, but Bobby Simmons.
Yeah, but who else was it? Who else? Bobby Simmons. Was that his name?
Yeah, Bobby Simmons.
Oh, sorry. Just go. Who else came from DePaul?
I think it was Bobby Simmons. Don't doubt me, dude. My boy Delonte Hollins played for DePaul.
Did he?
Yeah, Delonte played for DePaul. What's his name playing for DePaul? He played for maybe it wasn't him. He didn't play for DePaul. The dude that played for, good God. He played for the Denver Nuggets. Didn't he play for the ball?
Who?
Oh, good God. He shoots the ball a lot, too. Man, I'm wrong. I can't think of his name right now. It's not coming to mind right now.
Bobby Simmons.
Bobby Simmons, I'm right.
He won the NBA Most Improved Player Award in 2005.
Bobby Simmons, exactly. I know that's right.
So, and he played for the Clippers as well.
Exactly.
There's a connection. I wonder what his average was in the league. Let's see if
it
was close to Quinn Richardson. Might actually be more. Shoot.
All this is a reference to Otto Porter. But it's all reference to Otto Porter. We went from Otto Porter to freaking Quentin Richardson.
Well, I was just trying. You asked me to find somebody to compare him
to.
I tried, and you took offense to it. So here we are.
I know. Here we are. Bobby Simmons. And his. I can find Bobby Simmons. That's easy. This is a blessing within.
All right, we're done. Forget it.
I'm about to find it right now. Now I'm going to find Bobby Simmons.
16.4 points a game with the Clippers in his one season there.
In his one season?
Yeah.
It's not 17. Quentin Richardson.
It's close enough.
It's not.
He's not Quentin Richardson.
It's not close enough because it's not 17. 17.2.
With the Wizards, yeah.
That's
he only saying. Averaged 11 minutes.
He wasn't doing nothing with
but
the
But he made some playoff teams.
Yeah, he played hard. Both teams played hard, man. Anyway, man, we about to wrap this show up. Ray Jeezy, you have anything you want to say? Instead of talking about Bobby Simmons and Quentin Richardson, Otto Porter.
He averaged 9 points a game for his career.
That's what's up. That's nothing.
Quentin Richardson averaged 10. DePaul, no NBA, no NBA stars right now. Sorry. It's not happening.
Reveal the ball.
Shout out to my man, Will T, again.
Yeah, shout out to Will T, man. You missed, man. Hopefully we have you back, man. Thanks for listening to the Urban Sports Team. My man, Mega. Lead us out, homie. Thank you.